Randy Babbitt gets the official nomination for FAA Administrator. The FAA says we can't handle the truth about bird strikes. And Discovery is safely back at KSC. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 30th, 2009. Friday afternoon, President Barack Obama made it official, naming Randolph Babbitt to be the next FAA administrator, subject to confirmation by the U.S. Senate. Babbitt served as president of the Airline Pilots Association for much of the 1990s, and most recently served as an industry consultant, first independently, then as part of the larger firm Oliver Wyman. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin called Babbitt an excellent choice. Quote, he's a pilot with a thorough understanding of how our nation's aviation system works. He also has a business person's expertise, having started a successful aviation consulting company, unquote. Captain John Prater, president of the Airline Pilots Association, noted the nominee's background as an airline pilot and commented, quote, Captain Babbitt's decisive leadership will position the FAA to take aggressive action to modernize our country's antiquated airspace in the face of air traffic demand that is sure to escalate as the economy improves, unquote. Babbitt's confirmation appears likely, but the Wall Street Journal notes he has a past as a registered lobbyist. There seems to be some general fire in Washington to get the FAA squared away these days, so we should know soon. The issue of bird strikes became a topic of public conversation following the miracle on the Hudson, and the FAA has been keeping a database for 19 years on bird strikes. The Associated Press filed to get a copy under the Freedom of Information Act back in February, and reports the FAA agreed to release it in a subsequent conference call. So, where is it? Well, the FAA is now trying to keep the report quiet, concerned that the information might be damaging to some airlines and airports. The FAA notes in the Federal Register, quote, the agency is concerned that there is a serious potential that information related to bird strikes will not be submitted because of fear that the disclosure of raw data could unfairly cast unfounded aspersions on the submitter, unquote. Former Transportation Department Inspector General Mary Schiavo, who's now back in private law practice, commented, quote, it sounds like the FAA is going back to their early 1990s view that their job is to promote the carriers and look out for their bottom line. This sounds like they're reverting to being cheerleaders for the industry, unquote. The crew of the Space Shuttle Discovery was able to take advantage of the second landing window Saturday at the Kennedy Space Center, rolling to a stop on runway 15 at 3:15 p.m. Eastern Time. The STS-119 flight delivered the space station's fourth and final set of solar array wings, completing the station's truss or backbone. Astronauts also accomplished important tasks to prepare the station for future upgrades and additions later this year. The flight also brought back samples from the station's water recovery system for analysis on Earth. It's expected to take about a month before the crew can be given the okay to drink the recycled water. The next in a shrinking list of remaining shuttle launches is scheduled for May 12th, when Atlantis will make a repair run to the Hubble Space Telescope on mission STS-125. That can't happen until Discovery is also readied for launch. NASA won't send a crew to Hubble's higher orbit, with no options for alternate crew quarters in an emergency, until a second shuttle is standing by for possible use as a lifeboat. Discovery's touchdown followed by about 6 hours the docking of a Soyuz TMA-14 at the International Space Station, bringing the remaining two members of the station's Expedition 19 crew. Commander Gennady Padalka and Flight Engineer Michael Barrett docked at 9.05 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday morning, and hatches between the two spacecraft were opened 3.5 hours later. The new crew launched from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan on Thursday morning, along with space tourist Charles Simony, who's making his second visit under contract with the Russian Federal Space Agency. Japanese astronaut Koichi Wakata was already at the station to welcome his new crewmates. Wakata arrived aboard Discovery March 15. Up next on ANN, the NAHL report is out, with good news and bad. The Fed clears AIG to keep ILFC afloat, and Embraer had a decent year, but a lousy fourth quarter. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 30th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. The AOPA Air Safety Foundation Friday released the 19th annual Joseph T. Nall Report. ASF says the number of accidents increased in 2007, but both the fatal accident rate and the total number of fatalities declined, and dropped more than the number of flight hours, indicating a real reduction. Foundation President Bruce Landsberg commented, quote, "While any fatality is one too many, the declines indicate that industry-wide efforts to improve safety are bearing fruit. But the increase in the overall number of accidents indicates that there is still work to be done," unquote. Weather-related accidents continue to be among the most lethal. 82% are fatal. The foundation also noted a significant uptick in the number of accidents involving experimental aircraft during 2007. AIG has been given permission by the Federal Reserve to give another monetary shot in the arm to its aircraft leasing unit, International Lease Finance Corp. Although ILFC is up for sale, Chief Financial Officer Alan Lund told the Associated Press another cash infusion was necessary to assure its survival. Last month, AIG loaned ILFC $800 million, and on Wednesday, the New York Federal Reserve gave the nod for another $900 million in April. ILFC had reported in its year-end SEC filing that it might not survive past April without more help. Now, AIG spokesman David Monfried says, quote, "ILFC will continue to have adequate financing through March 2010 at least. The company actually will be sold. We're talking to a variety of interested potential buyers right now," unquote. In 1985, ILFC began to employ a strategy of using unsecured loans to buy airplanes in order to shift them from one airline to another more easily. Acknowledging that unsecured loans have become more difficult lately, Lund said, quote, "I may have to give that up for a while," unquote. Brazilian plane maker Embraer reported Thursday that 2008 fiscal year revenues totaled $6.3 million. That's up 20.8% over the previous year. The bad news came in the fourth quarter, when net revenues were down 3% from 2007. Yearly net income in 2008 dropped 3.2% to $388.7 million. The company's order backlog in December decreased 3.2% over September 30th levels due to cancellations. In happier news, Embraer delivered 204 jets in 2008. That's its highest annual total so far. The company also says it remains liquid despite the declining market, with $376 million in net cash on hand. Liberty Aerospace laid off 14 more workers last week, in addition to the 30 cut earlier this year. The manufacturer, which is based in Melbourne, Florida, now has a total workforce of 32. Florida Today says that's down from 180 a year ago. Liberty CEO Keith Markley observed, quote, "All general aviation sales are way down, as are just about all capital products worldwide," unquote. He added, all laid-off employees received severance packages and that the company aims to continue production of its XL2 trainer and hopes eventually to put people back on board. Last month, the company announced formation of a new division, Liberty Composites, to market the company's experience in aviation carbon fiber structures to other industries, including those outside aerospace. Still ahead, the Engineers Union agrees to Boeing's last offer. ASAP is back at American Airlines, and the Diamond DA-40 just got cooler. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 30th. I'm Paul Plack. The Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace really isn't happy with its new contract deal with Boeing, but it's also a really lousy time to strike. On Thursday, SPIA's negotiating team accepted Boeing's so-called last and best contract offer, essentially the same deal the union voted down on March 5th. At that time, while members voted against the deal, they also voted not to authorize a strike, and that sent union leaders back to the bargaining table with reduced clout. In its statement to members, SPIA said, quote, "With no desire from Boeing to move from its hardliner stance on contractual issues today, your WEU team made the difficult decision to accept the current offer," unquote. Negotiations began back in November. American Airlines and its pilots created an industry-leading safety reporting program in 1994, which promised pilots immunity from both FAA action and company discipline when safety breaches were reported voluntarily. Called the Aviation Safety Action Partnership, or ASAP, the program formed the model for similar programs at other airlines, and even among other job categories. But last October, due to a hostile labor atmosphere and Americans' stated need to be able to discipline pilots, ASAP lapsed, much to the chagrin of the FAA. Now, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports months of negotiations have finally brought an agreement between management and the pilots' union to bring the program back. Local APA Chairman Matthew Field assured members that the new agreement, quote, "contains wording that prohibits disciplinary action for cases accepted under the ASAP program," unquote. The FAA still needs to agree, but new U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood has made it a priority, so presumably the program will be back up and running as soon as, well, you know. Diamond Aircraft distributor Premier Aircraft Sales reports it's received an FAA supplemental type certificate for installation of a fully integrated vapor cycle air conditioning system for Lycoming-powered DA-40s. Based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Premier says it invested more than 2 years in research, design, engineering, and testing to earn the STC. The 10,000 BTU DA-40 cabin cool system claims it can take cabin air to 55 degrees Fahrenheit as measured at the vents. It uses an engine-driven compressor, electronic control panel, a cabin air distribution system, and an electric fan for ground operations. The price is $27,500 installed, and a typical retrofit requires 2 weeks. For now, the system will be sold and warrantied exclusively by Premier, but if customer response meets anticipated levels, it could become a factory option. And finally today, we often hear stories of unions filing grievances against employers for seemingly insignificant violations of collective bargaining agreements. But in this story, AirTran VP Steve Kolsky called National Pilots Association President Lyndon Hillman last week to inform him that a pilot may face discipline for wearing his uniform while dropping off his wife and two young children at a union-sponsored family day at the circus in Atlanta on February 21st. AirTran's rules clearly state employees are not to wear company uniforms while attending union-sponsored meetings or events. The NPA counters the pilot was on his way to work and wanted to spend as much time with his kids as possible before an imminent overseas deployment with the Air Force Reserve. AirTran responds the pilot clearly violated the flight operations manual and the collective bargaining agreement, and adds it, quote, "will not conduct labor relations through the media," unquote. Well, I guess a deal is a deal. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about two accidents which offer sobering warnings to those who would push the limits in marginal weather. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.